So let us begin this session. Before I talk about it, what we'll be meditating, the meditative instructions. Traditionally in Buddhism, before we begin any meditative practice, we do what is called calm abiding meditation, single point of concentration meditation, just to stabilize and quiet our minds. And so a very simple one exercise is just to count your breath from 1 to 21. Okay? There may be people here who said, gee, I started counting my breath 20 years ago. I mean, I'm much more advanced than that. But, you know, it's good to do scales to refresh. Close your eyes. Just make sure that your mind is relaxed. Yeah, make sure you're present. And come down into your body, feel your body, be embodied in your body. Come down out of your neck, feel the cushion, the mat, the back of the chair, the seat of the chair, the floor. You're in your body and you're aware of the sensations in your body, your experience. Make sure that you can feel your experience of breathing in and breathing out. And so when we count the breath, we count a complete breath. An in-breath and an out-breath is one complete breath. So by counting the breath, we have, by adding the number to the awareness of the breath, we have something to kind of help us focus a little more, but it also gives us a little bit of a marker, so we know when we're lost the count, so to speak. We've gotten lost for a moment, distracted. So again, it's sort of like inside, it feels like, you're just counting to yourself. And two, and like that, up to 21. The count. You have to go back to one. So this way you can have a focus and a way to, and again, it doesn't matter, just start over. But the main thing is to see, to do your best, to just stay focused on your breath, counting your breath. It doesn't mean thoughts don't continue to come and go, but you're not following them. You're giving your attention to your breath, and you're counting your breath from 1 to 21. You get to 21, just go back to 1. So for 5 minutes now, we will count our breath from 1 to 21. Again, no, we're not here to judge ourselves, just to simply do our best. You can maintain the count. Good. But if you lose the count momentarily because you got lost in a thought form, as soon as you're aware of that, simply drop the thought and begin again at one. That's the practice. Again, our practice is to hit the right note, but we also have to be aware when we hit the wrong note. And then just simply correct it and hit the right note again. That's practice. By doing the preliminary contemplations, by doing the breath practice to calm, stabilize our minds. In the text it says, by doing these things, we are now a suitable vessel to begin meditation. So this is all preparation. So now, having finished the preliminaries, we come to the second part. It's called the actual practice, training in bodhicitta or training in the awakened mind. So this is quite interesting. Some of you are familiar with these teachings, some of you are brand new, and again, those who are brand new have the advantage because you know nothing. Who think they know something are at a disadvantage now. So, we all have this awakened mind. It's often looked at in two ways. One is its unconditioned or absolute nature, and one is its relative, or we might say applied. The remainder of the day after this talk today will be on the slogans that are called relative bodhicitta, or how to apply the awakened mind in daily life, in relationships, But interesting, it begins with the deepest aspects of Buddhist meditation. Even though it knows that most people who are reading this text, if they're beginning in the beginning, are beginners. So I think it's very interesting that those who put this together, rather than putting the deeper, absolute, unconditional aspect of the awakening from it, is not possible yet. It's often through the purification that comes from the practices over time that the mind begins to have an inkling of what's really going on here. But it sort of presents it to us as our preliminary, as our first meditation. It says, now for the actual practice after you have stabilized your mind through the breath, the first slogan here is, regard all phenomena as dreams. Phenomena means everything. The world, the inhabitants of the world, all our experiences in the world. Right? To view this all as dreamlike. Now, I would say for most of us, that is not our experience, is it? It all seems very solid and real and permanent. But is it, when we look deeply, like a dream? When we're in a dream, we all dream, right? When we're in the dream, the dreams seem what? Real, don't they? Solid. We're there in the dream. Other people are in the dream. We're having real experiences in the dream. We're having feelings in the dream, right? Isn't that true? So it all seems, if you remember your dreams, dreams seem just like this when you're in them, don't they? Is that true? Try to remember what it's like when you're in the dream. It's just like this. It's all very real and solid, right? But when you wake up out of the dream, you realize immediately what? What do you realize immediately? You don't have to have a master's degree or a PhD in psychology. Right? When you wake up from the dream, immediately you understand clearly that which I thought was real, solid, really happening, was what? Just a dream. It was just a fabrication of my mind. Is that true? It wasn't going on anywhere else. Right? It was all just going on in my mind. I was fabricating the whole scenario. Right? Right? I mean, I was everybody in the dream. I was me, I was everybody else, the action. It was all choreographed, scripted, directed. By who? By me. And yet in the dream, I thought, no, I was here and this was really happening. But when you wake up, you realize, I'm creating this whole thing. Where am I creating it? In my mind. So when they talk about dreamlike, it's saying in the same way that, does this moment seem real? This is no trick question. Does this moment seem real to you? Do I seem real? Do you seem real? Do your thoughts seem real? Do your perception? It all seems very real to you, right? Now, do you remember 5 minutes ago? Or a half hour ago? Or an hour ago? Whatever experiences you were having, did they seem real? Just like this? Right? What happened to all those experiences? Where are they now? Where are they? What? Gone. Right? How about the dream of your childhood? Gone. All your experiences up to this moment, good, bad, indifferent, they all seem very real at the time, right? Is that not true? And yet the truth is, at this moment, we look back on our life and we go, what? It's not here, is it? just like last night's dream. Is that true? Every thought since you sat down to meditate, every experience you've had since you sat down to meditate an hour and a half ago, that all seemed very real. In the moment, you might have reacted to it, right? Felt good, felt bad, right? Where is all that? What? Gone, just like last night's dream. It seemed real, and yet it had no substance to it, did it? It just appeared, causes and conditions, and then it just disappears. What? Is this the same reality? No. All your issues, all your dramas, all your thoughts, all your worries, all your concerns that you've had endlessly for decades, where are they all? Like last night's dreams, which had a great reality to them, right? Is this true? This isn't just get into meditative posture. Your memories, your beliefs, right? They all are just arising in your mind, aren't they? You're just appearing in your mind, just like I'm appearing in your mind. Any solidness, even though in the moment, you see, like I'm speaking words to you now. And every word I speak in the moment you hear, and they seem real, right? My means, see, people often hear, ooh, dreamlike existence means nothing matters, everything is kind of surrealistic. It's like, no, it's not saying that. It's saying, let us look deeply into life and understand, does it have this, everything is just coming into being because of causes and conditions. And as soon as the causes and conditions change, they disappear, just like a dream, just like last night's dreams, just like a lifetime of dreams. Can you begin to reflect on this in your meditation? Just watch your mind, watch your thoughts. Is there any stability there? Does it stay the same? There are good dreams and bad dreams. Good stories. One moment we have a story about how everything is wonderful. An hour later we have a story about how everything's terrible. One day we have a story about a person that's all positive. A week later, we have a story, or a year later, we have a story about the same person that's totally negative. Right? What's changed? The person is still the same person in this dreamlike world. We're endlessly projecting onto reality a belief in its solidness. Is that true? Just take a moment to reflect. The world that appears to our senses, sounds, sights, smells, tastes, sensations in the body, endlessly coming and going, endlessly arising and disappearing from one moment to the next, appearing and disappearing. Enjoyment, pleasure, the opposite of enjoyment, displeasure, pain, same. Arising and disappearing according to causes and conditions. This is very personal. We need to look just directly at our own experience to see whether it's true. It's disappeared. Because I am here right now. In the same way, when we wake up from a dream, the dream immediately disappears. It seemed so real a moment ago. So So this is, you can just look into your own mind. You can meditate on your own experience. Is this true? That in truth, life has this dreamlike reality. And that all phenomena, all the things that appear to my senses, sights and sounds and smells and tastes, are just endlessly arising and disappearing, just like a dream. Feelings, thoughts, perceptions. Is this true? Or are you willing to begin to contemplate or begin to see life in that way? Can you feel when you begin to see it this way, there's a kind of a loosening, there's kind of an opening, right? Let's say you had a really bad dream last night and you wake up and you just don't feel right, you know? I'm sure you've all had that, right? And all of a sudden you say to yourself, oh, it was just a dream. It's gone. And immediately you feel what? Good. Relaxed. That whatever tension or negativity you had, as soon as you realize it was just a dream, immediately dissipates. What if you carried that quality into your life? Rather than holding on, clinging to, grasping at, ruminating endlessly about, how would it be different if you really saw that everything that appears is just arising and disappearing, causes, conditions? Just give it lots of awareness and space to do what it does. Now, the next instruction, again, the next instruction is examine the nature of unborn awareness. This is very central in Buddhist meditation, okay? Which is really asking us the question, well, this thing that just is regarding all phenomena as dreamlike, right? This instrument, and whether you want to call this instrument your mind, whether you want to call this instrument yourself, right? You know, that which understands that all phenomena is a dream, right? Well, what is this? Is this a real solid thing, right? Isn't that a good question, right? Like the instrument that kind of is looking at all this. Can you see the importance of that question? Because if we think it's a solid, real thing, then it's just something else to hold on to and cling to. Or what if it's not? What if it's like this? What if it's like that? So this examining the nature of that which is where, okay, is the next meditation. Okay? So please get in your meditative posture, which you probably are already in. And so again, we begin where we just were. We are kind of looking at the world, the comings and goings of the world, the people, sights, the sounds, the smell, the tastes. We're kind of looking at all that. We're looking at, you know, thoughts and feelings and perceptions that are, you know, memories that are all appearing in the mind too. Okay, so we're kind of very concerned at looking at all that phenomena, physical and mental phenomena. Just kind of look at all that. And now the next instruction is turn within and now look directly and examine that which is aware. See if you can do that. It's just a turning about. It's as if you had a flashlight or something. You kind of turn to look. Well, what is it that's lighting it all up? You see, what is that? So, and it says examine it. Kind of look into it and examine. What is this? So you're looking into your mind, so to speak, right? Just to make it very simple, right now you are, you might say your mind is hearing my voice. If your eyes are open, your mind is seeing sights. Your mind is feeling sensations in your body or yourself, whichever way you want to label it. And now you're kind of turning and looking at that which is aware. It's a little disorienting. And now you're looking at that and going, well, what is that? And you, and there are certain, it exists, it's got to, you know, in it's got to have some reality to it. Does my mind and myself, does it have a certain shape, form, a color? And this is not thinking. This is examining, which is a little different. It's like you're actually getting into it. You're getting into your mind and looking right at it, right? We all know about our issues, we all know about our stuff, we all know about that. But now we're going, well, that which knows all that, that which is aware of all that, what is that? Does that have issues? Just look directly into that which is aware. Can it be defined in any way? You want to, over time, come to a fairly clear, really understanding of who you are. We know we're aware of many things, endlessly. But that which is aware, what is that? Fundamentally, what is that? Does it have a color, a shape, a form? Does it have a back and a front? When we turn and look directly into our own awareness, our own knowing, what do we see? And we don't, I mean, everybody here, this is easy, because you don't have to have any knowledge to examine your own mind. We have to learn how to kind of turn and look, because we're always looking out. We're not turning and looking directly at our minds. What is this? It's like you've always heard a voice inside yourself and you say, well, that's me. And then you look into your mind and go, can I really see a me in there? Does that voice really have an origin? Where is it coming from? Like, where do thoughts come from? Where do they go? Again, these aren't intellectual questions. These are actually meditative questions. This is really what, at the deepest level, Buddhist meditation is about. So we have a real confidence and certainty about who we are and who we're not. What's real and what isn't. If we don't know that, then we're endlessly fooled. It's like going to the movies and believing what you're seeing on the screen is real. So we can be totally present in the movie, but we know it's not real. What is the nature of our own mind and experience? Just look into your mind. That which is hearing, that which is seeing, what is that? Can you turn and just look at it? And ultimately, when we do this over time, we see there's really nothing that shape, color. It's actually kind of spacious and open. And then the next instruction is rest there. See if you can just rest there. Rest in the nature of your own mind. Your own mind, nobody else's. Means just relax. Relax the mind into its own open, spacious nature, even just for a moment. Even just a brief moment, even just a glimpse. All these thoughts and feelings and ideas come in and going, come in and going. But what is it all coming and going in? What is that? What is this? It's like the fish becoming aware that they're in the water. They never notice that. It's like looking up into the sky and seeing the vast space, or at night seeing the bigger universe in which the earth is just one little dot. And again, this is not, you don't need a degree to see this. But over time, you want to be able to kind of get a glimpse of this aspect of your mind that most of us are not familiar with, that's very open and relaxed and spacious, in which there is great ease, great freedom. And there are no issues, no problems. Everything is fundamentally in this moment okay at this deepest level, the absolute nature of our mind. It's like Earth can have all its problems and its issues, but in terms of the greater unfolding of the cosmos, different perspective. Perspective of the relative. But first, can we get a glimpse of this deeper nature of what's going on? So before we take a break, are there any questions about just what we've gone through this morning? Yes. Oh, get a... And then we'll have a little break. Maybe time to turn on the AC. All the bodies are warming up things up. Yes.
How can we...
Is there a reality that is not conditional. It's not subject to change. It's not made of parts. Is there?
I don't know.
Good, I like that answer. So that's what we want to investigate. Yes, you see, I could give you an answer, but, and you could read, and you know what I'm saying? But we want to know, because that's a fundamental question. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Is there, you know, is there a reality beyond what we see, hear, smell, you know, or think? Yeah. You know, because is there something that I can really count on? Right? Yeah, that's good to know. Right? Yeah. Is there a deeper reality? That's not apparent to our senses. Our senses are very limited. Right? I mean, just very simply, you know, we see these as solid walls, but they're really not solid walls, are they? I mean, if you ask a physicist or something, they'd say, well, no, it's just energy and molecules, and it appears solid, right? I appear solid, don't I? But I'm just, I mean, you're a physician, you know there's nothing solid here, there's no solid body, right? It's all made of parts and parts and parts and subparts and subparts, and you can, you know, right? So we don't, our senses do not let us see really what's going on here, do they? Right? So how we construct our world is based on a lot of false information, isn't it? So what is there anything that's solid and real? That's worth investigating. Especially because we go under the belief that everything is solid and real, rather than what you just said, rather than kind of examining life to see, you know, is it really the way it appears? I mean, if you really believed your dreams were as real, you know, were real, then what? You'd be every day, your dreams, right? The lifetime of dreams and endlessly thinking about them and ruminating about them, right? That would be conditioning you, wouldn't it? If you believe they were real. But by when you know they're not real, they're just a kind of a momentary fabrication of the mind. You can certainly experience them, but you don't hold on to them, do you? They're just dreams. They appear and disappear. My mind just creates them. I mean, doesn't our mind just create thoughts all day? Is anybody creating the thoughts here? I mean, you just sat here for the last almost 3 hours or 2 hours. Have you been creating very consciously all your thoughts? Anybody think they have? No, they just, what? The mind just endlessly fabricating thoughts. Isn't that true? Meditate on it. I mean, that's a wonderful question, you know. Yeah, well, so, is there anything? Because even your thoughts that you're using as the instrument aren't real. They just come and go. It's kind of interesting. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Oh, Antonella. Yeah. And then we'll.
So we actually use the, in English language, we use the word real to something that's accessible to our senses.
Yes.
So, and the real, it does, for me, has a, it is temporary. Sometimes mm-hmm. we use real. So maybe we should have a different word for true reality or something. I think that's why it's confusing when we talk about
that. Yeah, so that's a good, yeah. So, and this is, you know, oftentimes in Buddhist texts, they do use different words or they put a capital R, you know, to delineate. The rest of the day will be about what in Buddhism is called relative reality. So, yes, this, in the same way you'd say, you know, we might get up and say, well, I had a dream last night, and we tell the story of what happened. It does have a temporary reality, right, when it appears to the senses. You're absolutely right. So we don't say, oh, nothing is real, right? Please understand, this is not like nihilism, nothing's real. It's saying that which appears as real is really just temporarily appearing. It has a temporary reality, just like a dream. Right? You know, I have a thought, now I have a feeling, there's a reality to that because I'm experiencing it. But it's not a permanent reality. Why? I mean, do you have the same feelings all day long? Anybody have the same feeling state all day long, year after year? No. And yet, you know, the rest of the day that Ken will be beginning to talk about soon will be about what's called relative bodhicitta, or how to live skillfully and compassionately and wisely in this relative, are you happy? Relative reality. Okay, the reality of the relative world, which is the world that is, you know, that we know through our senses and our thinking. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Last question. Here.
So I can appreciate the dreamlike nature of what we see, but there's a big difference, and something that happens or something I do in a dream doesn't have consequences outside the dream. If I drop a vase and it breaks, it's not broken when I wake up. But in this life, if I drop a vase, it stays broken. If I make a mistake, the consequences live on.
Where are all your broken vases right now? Where are they? Do you still have them with you?
Some of them. I'm living with the consequences of what I've eaten.
And the same way, if we have a miserable, scary, rotten dream life, that may filter over into our waking life because it's all going on in your mind. Yeah, so I mean, the whole rest of the day is about, so there's cause and effect, but yet it's hard for us to acknowledge that even in this relative world with its cause and effect and consequences, they don't last. They're not solid, real things, right? I mean, we have all kinds of effects from earlier in our life. You know, why are we here? We want to heal and transform. We want to change them, and we can do it. So if they were real solid things, we wouldn't be here. You'd have to say, you go home today, you break the vase, and you have to live with it for the rest of your life. Would you like that? I mean, who would want to visit you? your home was filled with all your broken, all the things that are broken in your life, right? What do you do with your broken vase?
You move on.
You move on, and you put it in the trash, you know? This thing that was so precious to me, I just, was so careful about, it's broken, throw it out. There it is. Fix it, fix it if it can be fixed. Heal it, that's the healing part. Yeah, make it whole again.